This is Infants on Thrones. The philosophies of men mingled with humor. We are the Quorum.
Welcome back to Infants on Thrones. I'm Glenn Ostlund, and today you're going to hear some excerpts from a Christmas program that myself, Matt, and Scott participated in tonight for the Nautilus community here in Arizona that you may have heard Scott talk about previously. It was mostly music, and I won't play the entire thing for you, but it is Christmas, and we did record it, and we are infants, so why not publish it? So first you're going to hear from Matt as he was conducting this event. Scott's wife, Lonica, was presiding, and she did an awesome job organizing the whole thing, by the way. You'll then hear from Scott as he talks a bit about the Nautilus community and what we've done over the last year. You'll hear a duet from Matt and Kristen, a considerably less rapey version of Baby It's Cold Outside. You'll hear a talk from me, another song with myself and Matt in the choir of about 10 people, and then some final remarks from Matt. And there you go. That's the show. So, ho, 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 and here we go.
Well, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for coming out. It's kind of exciting to have our second annual Christmas program here through Nautilus. My name is Matt Long. I'm going to ask to just do a quick welcome. So, welcome. This is a unique program. It's unique thing we do here. When Christmas comes around, I'm always reminded of the atheist philosopher who really kind of speaks the words of my heart, which is, I just really like Christmas. It's sentimental, but I just really like it. And that's how I feel. Whatever meaning Christmas had, it may have a different meaning now, but I just like Christmas. A couple quick quotes that I ran into that I thought would be appropriate. First says, in the old days it was not called the holiday season. The Christians called it Christmas and went to church. The Jews called it Hanukkah and went to synagogue. And the atheists went to parties and drank. People passing each other on the street would say Merry Christmas or Happy Hanukkah. Or to the atheists, look out for the wall. The lovely thing about Christmas is that it's compulsory. And like a thunderstorm, we all go through it together. Then from Lemony Snicket, the latke who couldn't stop screaming, A Christmas Story, says, Santa Claus has nothing to do with it, the latke said. Christmas and Hanukkah are completely different things, but different things can often blend together. Said the pine tree. Let me tell you a funny story about pagan rituals. So I hope you will find some peace, some friendship, some community, and some good times in here in thinking about music and the message, the positive messages that come at the holiday season.
My dear,
if really you
have to do this again.
Yes,
Cheesecake Factory.
I'm glad to be talking tomorrow.
Text me if you have the time.
At least I haven't yet, never.
Unless I catch pneumonia and die.
I'll be on my way.
Thanks for the great night.
Maybe it's cold
outside.
Welcome, everybody. Thanks for coming. This is great to see so many faces here today. I'm Scott Rowley, and I'm just going to speak for a couple minutes. We'll get back to the music, but I just wanted to give a quick recap of what we've been able to do this year with Nautilus. Last year, this same event was kind of our big kickoff for starting this whole thing, whatever we're doing, whatever this social experiment that we still haven't quite figured out. And it's been an amazing year. We've had a lot of really good events. In the spring, we had an Easter egg hunt and Easter egg roll kind of thing with the kids. We did a big service project for Feed My Starving Children. There was a camp outing over the summer where we ended up having about 50 people. By the end of it, about 50 people that had been there. Let's see, what else? We just recently had another service project. We did a pizza night. So if you're looking for community, if you're looking to find other people to connect with, please come and help us and help us make it whatever you would like to see it become, because we're still at that point right now where it's going to become whatever we want. Thanks.
Thank you. Osland, and those of you who know me may be expecting me to talk about the true meaning of Christmas. You know, once you peel away all the onion layers of both ancient and modern myth and all of the blatant commercialism that this holiday is based on, there's got to be something meaningful at the center, right? And since I spent 6 years of my life getting a master's degree and almost a PhD in folklore while racking up about $70,000 in student debt, I should at least be able to talk about the value of traditions, the role that they play in creating a meaningful individual personal identity, and maintaining a sense of community with those that we care about, yada, yada, yada. Furthermore, being a part of the Infants on Thrones podcast, some of you will no doubt expect a very thoughtful, profound, mature, respectful, subdued, reverent, considerate of people who see things differently than I do type of message from me, since that's pretty much what we're known for. But that's not what you're going to hear from me today. Instead, I googled funny Christmas poems, and I found a bunch of parodies of "'Twas the Night Before Christmas," and then I sort of tweaked some of them a little bit, but that's what you're going to hear from today. So the first one is called "The Dieter's Night Before Christmas." I started my New Year's resolution about 3 weeks early, and so this seemed a little applicable, so here we go. "'Twas the night before Christmas, and all around my hips were chocolate and candies that sneaked past my lips. Special brownies were stored in the freezer with care, in hopes that my ever-growing gut would forget they were there." You know, this is a little bit too personal. I'm going to this one is called "The Facebook Night Before Christmas." "'Twas Christmas on Facebook when all through the home, every eye was glued to the screen on their phone. The Instagram filters were chosen with care in hopes that each image would soon see a share. Each status included a funny thing their kid said, so much to be documented, so much to be read. And Junior on his potty and Missy mid-nap, everyone geotagged and placed on a map. When somewhere off-screen there arose such a clatter, we all sprang from our phones to see what was the matter. Away from my virtual world, I explored, cast my eyes on the real world, and opened the door. The moon was so pretty, I took a picture to post. It was then that I saw it, a surprise Christmas ghost. Yes, what to my screen bloodshot eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh thingy and 8 tiny reindeer. When that little old driver looked over right at us, I immediately reached down to update my status. And then more rapid than evil, his phrases they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now friend me, now like me, now poke me and share. On political rant, on pet photo, on awkward public prayer. How you hate Trump, how you love Trump. And you know, it goes on and on like this. You know, I was hoping that at the end of the poem, Santa would pull off of his beard and it would really be George Takei. But it didn't end that way, and I didn't really have the time to write it or the patience. So I'm going to go skip to the next one, which is actually my favorite of the bunch. And this one I'm going to dedicate to John Hamer, who many of us know and love. And I'm very happy to consider to call him a friend and to talk to him on a regular basis and learn from him. So apologies in advance for butchering some of the poetic eloquence of this next poem. But what can you do? Hey, pex legomenon, right? Which is to say that some of the words in here should have only been used once, ever. Or in other words, that some of these words are too big and unfamiliar for me to pronounce. So this is the intellectual 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. 'Twas the nocturnal segment of the diurnal period preceding the annual Yuletide celebration. And throughout our place of residence, kinetic activity was not in evidence among the possessors of this potential, including that species of domestic rodent known as Muscullus. Hosiery was meticulously suspended from the forward edge of the wood-burning caloric apparatus, pursuant to our anticipatory pleasure regarding the imminent visitation from an eccentric philanthropist, among whose folkloric appellations is the honor of the title St. Nicholas. The prepubescent siblings, comfortably ensconced in their respective accommodations of repose, were experiencing subconscious visual hallucinations of variegated fruit, infections moving rhythmically through their cerebrums. My conjugal partner and I, attired in our nocturnal head coverings, were about to take slumberous advantage of the hybrid of darkness when, upon the avenacious exterior portion of the grounds, there ascended such a cacophony of dissonance that I felt compelled to arise with alacrity from my place of repose for the purpose of ascertaining the precise source thereof. Hastening to the casement, I forthwith opened the barrier sealing this fenestration, noting thereupon that the lunar brilliance without, reflected as it was on the surface of recent crystalline precipitation, might be said to rival that of the solar meridian itself, thus permitting my incredulous optical sensory organs to behold a miniature airborne runner conveyance drawn by 8 diminutive specimens of the gender Rangifer, piloted by a minuscule aged chauffeur, so epulent and nimble that it became instantly apparent to me that he was indeed our anticipated caller. With his ungulate movement power, with his ungulate motive power traveling at what may possibly have been more vertiginous velocity than patriotic alarm predators, he vociferated loudly, expelled breath musically through contracted labia, and addressed each of the octet by his or her respective cognomen. Now Dasher, now Dancer, etc., guiding them to the uppermost exterior level of our abode, through which structure I could readily distinguish the concatenations of each of the 32 cloven pedal extremities. As I retracted my cranium from its erstwhile location and was performing a 180-degree pivot, our distinguished visitant achieved with utmost celerity and via a downward leap entry by way of the smoke passage. He was clad entirely in animal coats, soiled by the ebony residue from oxidations of carboniferous fuels which had accumulated on the walls thereof. His resemblance to a street vendor I attributed largely to the plethora of assorted playthings which he wore dorsally in a commodious cloth receptacle. His orbs were scintillant with reflective luminosity, while his submaxillary dermal indications gave every evidence of engaging amiability. The capillaries of his mother regions and nasal appurtenants were engorged with blood, which suffused the subcutaneous layers, the former approximating the coloration of Albion's floral emblem, the latter of Prunus's avium, or sweet cherry. His amusing sub and super labias resembled nothing so much as a common lupinot, and their ambient hirsute facial adornment appeared like small, tabular, and columnar crystals in frozen water. Clenched firmly between his incisors was a smoking piece whose gray fumes, forming a tenuous ellipse about his occupant, were suggestive of a decorative seasonal circlet of holly. His visage was wider than it was high, and when he waxed oddly mirthful, his corpulent abdominal region undulated in that manner of impectinated fruit syrup in a hemispherical container. He was, in short, neither more nor less than an obese, jocund, multigenarian gnome, the optical perception of whom rendered me visibly frolicsome, despite every effort to retain from so being. By rapidly lowering and then elevating one eyelid and rotating his head slightly to one side, he indicated that trepidation on my part was groundless. Without utterance and with dispatch, he commenced filling the aforementioned appended hosiery with various of the aforementioned articles of merchandise extracted from his aforementioned previously dorsal transported cloth receptacle. Upon completion of this task, he executed an abrupt about face, placed a single manual digit in lateral juxtaposition to his olfactory organ, inclined his cranium forward in a gesture of leave-taking, and forthwith effected his egress by renegotiating, in reverse, the smoke passage. He then propelled himself in a short vector onto his conveyance, directed a musical expulsion of air through his contracted oral sphincter to the antlered quadruped's burden, and proceeded to soar aloft in a movement hitherto observable chiefly among the seed-bearing portions of the common weed. But I overheard his parting exclamation, audible immediately prior to his vehiculation beyond the limits of visibility. ecstatic yuletide to the planetary constituency, and to that self-same assemblage, my sincere wish for a salubriously beneficial and gratifyingly pleasurable period between sunset and dawn.
Wow.
And yeah, thank you very much. And if you were paying attention, the true meaning of Christmas was expressed there after all, because it's all about sharing love and laughter with people, or something quasi-profound like that. So I say these things in a novelist Christmas event, M&Ms. Anybody have it?
Hi, this is John Brown from Bluffdale, Utah, headquarters of the Apostolic United Brethren. You can comment on this episode on the website, infantsonthrones.com. And if you really like what you hear, give the Quorum a 5-star rating and write a short review on iTunes. I did. Anyone for the closing prayer?
Thank you for listening to Infants on Thrones.
Infants on Thrones.